With me, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I believe what He says about me. I can have what He says I can have. This morning, my heart is alert and my mind is receptive. And I expect a possibility in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank You because, Lord, we know the entrance of Your Word giveth light and understanding to the simple. And Lord, O God, even as we go through Your Word this morning, O God, we pray, O God, that Lord, that You will give us greater understanding, O God. I thank You, Lord, for these people of Yours have been anointed with the anointing of hearing and understanding. And Lord, I thank You that I have been specially anointed, O God, to disseminate Your Word without error, O God. And I pray that, Lord, at the end of this meeting this morning, both the speaker and the hearer shall be greatly blessed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk very briefly this morning on a title I call The Mystery of the Manger. The Mystery of the Manger. And that was why we sang that, you know, that hymn, that Christmas song that talks a bit about away in a manger. And what's the essence of this? Basically, the Lord told me this month that is a month of joy. And without anybody being a prophet, it's very easy to know that it's a time of celebration. It's a time when Jesus came into this world to die, you know, to die for us. So it's a time to really rejoice for me that somebody left his throne and came to this, you know, dirty world and came to live with us and came to, you know, bear with us and came to understand us, you know. So it's a time of joy. But then we need to understand the mystery behind even the place that he was born. And all this period, what we will be hearing in most of the churches will be story of Jesus. You know, I'll be speaking in a church on the 14th in the afternoon that they are doing Christmas celebration. It's a Filipino church in Dublin. And when they said they just wanted to come and talk about the great person that ever lived. The greatest person that ever lived. So that was, it looked very serious topic. Very, very serious. The greatest person that ever lived. That's the title of the thing. So, and that was Jesus, you know. And it's a time when you'll be hearing all kind of teaching, all kind of exhortation about our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I felt that it's good to start the, you know, this is the first Sunday of the month, to start, you know, with us on, you know, what is it? Who is this Jesus we're talking about? And what is this manger? What is he about? What's the mystery behind it? So this morning, by the grace of God, we'll be exploring the mystery of the manger. And the mystery of the manger is such that somebody had no place to stay and he had to go to the manger. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible very quickly to John Gospel. John Gospel chapter number 1. You see, before we can really, really explore the mystery of the manger, we need to look at the person of Jesus himself. And in John Gospel in chapter number 1, many of us know the scripture there, but John Gospel chapter number 1, from verse number 1, the Bible says, In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. What in English? And then if you jump to verse number 14, and the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now if you jump to verse 29, which is the last scripture there I will read, it said, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. If you knit these three scriptures together, three chunk of the scripture that we read, 1 to 3, 14 and 29, you will see that it tells us basically where Jesus was coming from. It tells us where he was coming from based on chapter 1, verse number 1 to 3. And it tells us in verse number 14 how he manifested with us. And in verse 29, he told us what he came to do. John said, he sees him coming. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. But verse number 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. In other words, the Word became human being and lived with us. So the very first thing that we need to understand, to be able to understand the mystery behind the manger, is to understand the pre-existence of God. That if we're not just going to very soon in the next couple of days, how many days to Christmas? Today is 7. So in the next 25th is the Christmas day. And in the next 19 days, if I'm not mistaken, thereabout, or maybe 18 days, sir, everybody will be enjoying Christmas. It's Christmas. It's the birthday of Jesus. And everybody, before that time, you're going to see all the hustling and bustling out. You're going to see people going around trying to do all their last minute shopping, you know, buying your turkey and trying to get it dressed and soaked up with stuffings and all the rest and all that, you know. And everybody, but you see, but we need to understand that the guy that we're about to celebrate his birth pre-existed. And like we are talking about the I Am, the I Am has been before the Word itself was created. So he knew what the Word was going to look like. He called the Word into existence. So Jesus pre-existed before creation. Because when you read that scripture, the Bible says that he said he was not made. Jesus was not made. He did not become. What do I mean by become? Because at creation, God said, let there be. And things came up. So, Jesus did not become. He was not created. He never had a beginning. There was nothing that says, this was the beginning. But rather, he was the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. Because that's what John tells us. He said, in the beginning. The Word, and we know that the Word is referring to Jesus. And is I was looking at it when I was writing this thing. In fact, the word there signifies deity. It's another word for deity, which means I am. I have been. So Christ is I Am himself. And if you remember that in John 17, verse number 5, Jesus Christ said, and now, O Father, glorify thy me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began, before the world was. The world was there before the world began. So he has been there. So it's not just that Jesus is come now and we are celebrating Jesus and he just appeared from the blues. So for us to understand that manger of a thing, he's the one. In fact, I'm beginning to think in my spirit that Jesus knew that he was going to be born in the manger. He knew it. He knew. Do you think that he cannot alter it? He has the power to change it. They can put somebody out of the hotel room just because Jesus wants to stay in a very conducive place. Because he was from the beginning. He has been there. Another thing that we need to understand about this same Jesus, like I said, for us to be able to understand the mystery behind manger, we need to understand the person, the identity of Jesus. Jesus Christ coexisted with God. He had coexistence. Jesus coexisted. He was and face to face with God. He has been with God face to face. He has been there. John 1:2 says, He said the same was in the beginning with God. The same was with God. They were standing side by side. In that verse number 2, he said the same. When he said the same, he's using third person. You know, when you are writing literature, you know, when you want to, you don't want to use he or his, or you know, you have he's using third person here. The same. Look at it, he said, he was. I like this. He said, he was. That's talking about Jesus. So he coexisted with the God. The Bible says the same was with him from the beginning. And the word being with him there basically is saying to us that he equally knows everything just like God knows everything. So he is God. The Jehovah's Witness don't like to hear that. And that's why when you see anybody trying to question you and say, was Jesus God? He has been indoctrinated by the Jehovah's Witness. You can't say Jesus is God as far as Jehovah's Witness is concerned. They can prove it. They will try to talk you out about it. But they don't understand the context of John's Gospel. He said the same was with God from the beginning. In other words, he knows everything. John, the writer of this John's Gospel, did not say the Word was the God. He omitted the article D. D is an article. He didn't say that. In verse number 1, if you go back to verse number 1, you see, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It didn't say, and the Word was the God. It said, the Word was God. Jesus, it means that Jesus is God. Am I teaching you something wrongly? Are you getting something? So, John omitted that article. If the D is there, then there's something wrong. He took it out there. He said, and the same Jesus was God. So that means the same Jesus was the one that talked about bringing about the world into existence from the beginning. Because the Bible says in the beginning, God created. It says, so the same God, Word, was God. And he didn't use the G, small g. He referred to him as God. Yes, sir. That's the word. So let me say to us this day, that Christ is the answer to every darkness. Because when the darkness was filling all over the places at the beginning, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And the Bible is saying in John Gospel, it said the same Jesus, who is the Word, was God at creation. So Jesus is the answer to the darkness of this world. And that was why he said, I am the light of the world. And the Bible says, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness can't stop it. Praise the Lord. So Jesus' birth was predicted by prophet Isaiah. The same Jesus that was God and was in the beginning was with God. His birth was predicted by prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 verse number 14. He said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the word Emmanuel there is translated God, G-O-D, with us. So when you now read, when you read John Gospel chapter number 1 verse number 14 that says, we have beheld the glory of the one and the, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember that his name has been predicted as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So the reason why I'm saying all this is so that we prepare our mind to be able to understand the mystery of the manger. For you to understand the mystery of the manger, you need to understand the person that was born in the manger. What is that person about? What is he like? What has he come to do? What was his purpose? Why does he have to be born in the manger? So he needed to be an Emmanuel, God with us. He needed to understand. He needed to go through what you are going through. He needed to understand how poverty is like. He was the richest. He was the one that made money. And yet, he had to be born in a manger, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. He said his name shall be called Emmanuel, according to Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. He shall be called Emmanuel. So Jesus is this one that was born in a manger. And the reason for it is that he needed to be with us. He needed to understand us. He needed to partake of the sufferings that we are going through. So that you can know that he understands your pain. So when we talked about the I Am, like we were saying in the conference that we had in Longford, if you talk about the I Am and you don't understand that the I Am knows your pain, then when you are going through that pain, you feel you are alone. So he was born in a manger for a particular reason, so that he can suffer with you, so that he can peer with you, so that he can understand you. And like I said in my notes, who was this in the manger? Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15, very quickly. Colossians 1, 15. If you find it, you can read quickly before me. Yeah, go on. Yeah. He is the first, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Jesus, that we celebrate him in the next 18 days, or that even the joy has started from now, was the one that was born in a manger. He is the image of the invisible God. No one has seen God physically, but we are able to see Jesus. Even those of us here might not probably see him physically. But the people over 2,000 years ago saw him physically. They touched him. They could feel him. They knew that he was giving birth to an earthly father and an earthly mother, Mary and Joseph. And they could see that he was working in the carpenter factory there. So he is the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So, for you to understand that you are not just celebrating something, or you are not just talking about somebody, some folks that are just born in the manger that you can't even identify with. The Bible says he is the firstborn of every creature, especially you. Because you are the only one on the face of earth that has the image of God. The lion does not look like God. The jackals, the lamb, and all, they don't look like God. You are the only one that resemble God. And Bible is telling us that Jesus, the firstborn of every creature, the express image of the invisible God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The express image of the invisible God. And what does it come to do? He came in three forms. We're just going to talk through those three things, and next week, by the grace of God, you know, we go into the re-essence of how did he came to be in the manger. We talked about other things like why was Jesus in the manger? And how did we know that Jesus came to represent the Lamb of God? We talked about, because John identified in those scriptures that we read in 29, he says, here comes the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the whole world. And why did that person that came to take the sins of the whole world away, why was he born in the manger? We explore that next week. But just to get the understanding of the person and the personality and identity of Jesus. So he came as a Messiah. And his messianic power has three forms. The first form is that he came as a prophet. He came as a prophet. Jesus came as a prophet. And you want to ask me, but we don't know. Jesus was, he was asked one time, is he a prophet? And he said no. But he actually is a prophet. Yes, he was asked in in John chapter 1, verse number 21. They asked him, what then are you? Are thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are thou the prophet? And he answered, no. But, you know, if you read John chapter 6, very quickly, John chapter 6 and in verse number 14, John 6:14. Thank you. He said, then those men, when they had seen the miracle, when they have seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They testify. Remember, the Jews understands the mystery of God in terms of how God functions. And they knew, they remember what they've been told by the prophets. So Jesus was confirmed by the people, because in those days, what does prophet do? Prophet comes with diverse miracles. They do miracles in those days. Elisha was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. And what did they do? What was synonymous with them? Miracles. So when they saw, in fact, John the Baptist was not a prophet. And he didn't do one single, not even one miracle that John the Baptist did. He was a witness. He was an evangelist. So, unlike we were told by Pastor Bright in the meeting, you know, the Jews did not struggle with John. Why? Because his father was a prophet. And they knew that what he is doing, he was born to do what he was doing. But for Jesus, they had to struggle because they didn't understand, because they knew that the one they know as his father was Joseph, and he's a carpenter, and nobody even knew him as a priest or anything. And in fact, his pregnancy came like, in fact, it was a shameful thing that Joseph was planning secretly to divorce Mary. So how can the child that was born out of wedlock, how can he now come and be the Messiah? So it was a serious contention. Am I talking to somebody here? But Jesus actually came. But when they saw the acts of Jesus, they said, of a truth, this is the prophet in that John 6:14 that we were told was going to come. Praise the Lord. He also came as a priest. The father of John the Baptist was a priest. Sorry, not a prophet. He was a Levitical priest that was going into the holies of holies. It was only his father that could enter and make sacrifice in the holies of the holies. And one of the days that he went, that was where he got the miracle of the birth of John. And he found it very difficult to comprehend. And his tongue was tied. And he became deaf and dumb. And he couldn't tell them what he saw. He was just making a hand sign and writing on paper. And that was how his wife Elizabeth conceived John. And John was brought forth 6 months before Jesus Christ. But Jesus manifested his messianic authority as a priest. You know, prophets has the ability to declare something. Jesus declared so many things. He told them, he says, pull down this temple and in 3 days I will build it. He was talking about his own life. And he did not die. And 3 days after, he did not rise up. So prophets in the days of old will come and say something. This is what the Lord is going to do. But he equally functioned under his messianic power as a priest. In Psalm 110 verse number 4. Psalm 110 verse number 4. If you find it, please read it very quickly. Melchizedek. So Jesus came as a priest. He was able to operate in that dimension. He functioned there. He understood what priests are all about. He was able to carry the people along. The priest will be like a pastor of our days. He was able to succor with the people. And why is that scripture talking about? It's the order of Melchizedek. It's the priest is the one that they bring the tithe to. It's the pastor that enjoys the tithe in the days of the covenant. So it was in that order that Jesus came. He had sheep to look after. He was a pastor. He was a shepherd. So he came. And that's why he says, I have not come to those that are not sick. I've come to gather the lost sheep of Israel. So he functioned as a priest. And the last thing that Jesus manifested his messianic power in is that he came as a king. Jesus came as a king. Let's open our Bible quickly to Daniel. Daniel chapter number 2. And I'll be closing with that by the grace of God. Daniel 2 verse number 44 and 45. He said, and in those days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that's why you and I are still here today. Because Jesus came as the king. And he says, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall be break in pieces and consume all this kingdom, and it shall stand forever. And that's why the kingdom of God is standing forever, even in our days. So Jesus came to fulfill his messianic power, authority, from him being a prophet, a priest, and a king. And that is what you and I are as well. We are a prophet, we are kings, we are priests. So when we understand this mystery about the person of Jesus, it will help us to understand when we begin to take in the mystery behind the manger. Okay, so the prophet had to come to the manger. So the priest had to be born in a manger. So the king has to be born in a manger. Wow, it's an amazing thing. That the father of the king will allow his son, who is heir to the throne, to be born in a manger. That tells us a lot of things. That should give us a lot of comfort. That Jesus actually came for 100% protection for us. That we can have life. And that's why John 10:10 says that he said the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And that's why he had to come through the manger. I want you to thank the Lord this morning for this short exposition, for understanding that Jesus came purposely as a prophet to declare things into your life. He came as a pastor priest to look after you, to pasture you, to be the shepherd of your soul. And he came as a king to reign over all your circumstances and your situation. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We appreciate you. We lift up your name because, Lord, you are a king. You are a prophet. You are, oh God, a priest over our lives. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning. We give you praise and honor. Thank you for coming, oh God. Thank you for coming, oh God. Blessed be your holy name, oh God. For in Jesus' name we pray. I want us to thank the Lord for Jesus for coming to this world. If Jesus had not come, our story would have been different. But we thank him for he has come. Not just coming. He came as a priest, as a prophet, and as a king to rule over our lives. To rule over our life. To mentor us. To pastor us. To declare into our lives. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We appreciate you, O God, for coming. Because indeed you are a great God. You are a kind and a just God. We worship and bow down before you. We say, be thou lifted up, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Everlasting Father, this morning we want to thank you. We thank you, O God, for understanding the identity of your Son, Jesus. That he has not just come for coming's sake, but he has come even as a prophet and as a priest and as a king. Lord, as a prophet, O God, even to make declaration and proclamation into our lives. Lord, as a priest, O God, to pasture us, to shepherd us, to look after us. And as a king, O God, to reign over all of our affairs, O God. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you, O God, for this understanding this morning. We give you praise and honor. Be thou exalted, O God, for in Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen, 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 in Jesus' name.